The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, they were going to be the views of Dr. Dennis Cuddy this afternoon, but unfortunately there's a tremendous storm back there, and I think we're just going to have to do open lines. So we're going to put out our number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. If you'd like to call in, hey, you have something you'd like to talk about, we'll be glad to talk about it. Otherwise, you're going to have to hear me talking about what I want to talk about. And I thought maybe this afternoon why we would talk about this effort to get everybody in the United States to accept a vaccination for a problem that is so minor, if you look at it from the overall scheme of things going on in the world, it is hardly worthwhile mentioning now. Admittedly, apparently a fair number of people have died here. They tell us that here in the state of California, about 50 people have died. Now, I feel very badly about that. Certainly throughout the world, about 3,000 people have died from this new form of virus. It's the H1N1, so-called swine flu virus. Apparently it doesn't infect the swine, though. They call it the Mexican virus. I don't know what we really ought to call it. It is basically, in my understanding, it's a combination of two different swine flus. One is Asian, one is North American, and then there's an avian virus, and then there's a human flu virus, and certainly everything suggests that this is a man-made influenza virus. Now, why would I say that? Well, we did an interview with Wayne Mattson the other night, and you'll certainly find this interview on my website, Wayne Mattson, and he said that he's been contacted from people from major genetic viral labs where they actually do gene splicing and create all sorts of new types of bugs, and they have told him that everything points to the fact that this new so-called swine flu came out of a laboratory someplace, and he claims that he's had this confirmed by other experts in the field. Well, of course, I've always had the feeling that I know that they are creating new diseases. I know that certainly Zygmunt Brzezinski wrote about that back in 1970 in his book Between Two Ages, and where he talked about, now this is writing in 1970, he talked about how by the year 2018 that we would be able to create droughts and we would be able to create storms and we would be able to create new chronic diseases to disable the enemy. So they have been working at this for a long time. I know that certainly if you go to my website and pull down my newsletters on genetic engineering, I think there are four of them there. There is no question in my mind that we've been working on creating new diseases. We have the CIA Special Cancer Virus Report. They ordered all of the copies of these reports destroyed. We managed to get a couple of them. We know they were actually working, and certainly 20 years ago, they were able to create new diseases. They knew exactly what they were doing. But this is top secret. We can't let the American people know. We're creating new diseases. In fact, we're even working on some diseases that are genetically specific, that are designed to kill specific racial groups. And if you go into my newsletters there on genetic engineering, you'll find out that they actually were working in Africa. The people in the African laboratories were working with the American CIA to create specific diseases that would kill blacks specifically. The Israelis have been working on diseases that would kill Arabs. There are genetic differences. And it is not simply by coincidence that over 50% of the New Age cases in Americans are in blacks. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. And of course, our regularly scheduled guest this afternoon is not available because apparently there was a terrible storm back on the East Coast where Dr. Cuddy lives. And we'll hope he may call in later, but if he doesn't, it's going to be open line. So I would like you to call in if there's something you'd like to talk about. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY out across America if you'd like to give us a call. But we're going to talking now about the hysteria that is being created today to try to get the American people to be willing to take this so-called swine flu vaccine. And, of course, I think that everybody should really go up on the Internet. There's a wonderful clip that actually was made by 60 Minutes about 1979 with Mike Wallace. And you'll find it on Daily Motion. I believe that's the title of the website. It's called dailymotion.com video or CBS video. And it's a CBS 60-minute production where Mike Wallace, of course, is interviewing a woman who's been permanently crippled because she took the swine flu virus that they get at that time. They told everybody it was safe and effective, and they knew it wasn't safe. And they knew that it probably wouldn't be effective because none of these influenza virus vaccines are effective. But they gave this to 40 million Americans, according to this production. 300 Americans died. Now, I've always thought it was 25. The government lies, CBS, if you watch this, they will tell you that 300 Americans died. And we know at least 500 got Guillain-Barré, which is like a polio, except it's from a different cause. It comes from an immune response. And the result of that, many of these people were crippled for life. Could this really happen again? I do bet your bottom dollar it could happen again. And they're doing a masterful job to condition the American people, to frighten them into, you've got to take this vaccine. Well, you need to see this video. It's on Daily Motion. Simply look it up on the Internet. Go to your search engine, put in 60 Minutes CBS 1976 influenza vaccine. You'll certainly want to watch this before you take your vaccine. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, our regularly scheduled guest couldn't be with us because of a severe lightning storm in North Carolina. So it's open lines. And, of course, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I've been talking about this massive propaganda campaign to convince us that everybody's got to take this new swine flu vaccine. They're rushing it through. They're going to give it a month or two trial, try it on a few people, and if they don't immediately die, they're going to give it to the entire population. You would think that before they wanted to vaccinate the entire population, they would want to be absolutely certain it was safe. Well, they're going to tell you it was safe. That's what they told you about the swine flu vaccine that was given back in 1976. You can actually go to this CBS 60-minute presentation. They show you the advertisements at that time, people getting up saying this is safe and effective. And yet, of course, Mike Wallace does a wonderful job of interviewing people in the medical profession who worked for the government who knew the vaccine was not safe. It could produce Guillain-Barré disease or many other complications. And, of course, the government simply lied. It's really very, very well done because you'll actually see these government officials and you know that they're lying. There's no question that they're lying. But nobody ever was held responsible for all the people who died or for all the people who were permanently crippled. Well, one person died from the swine flu, and four people were infected with the swine flu, and they gave 44 million immunizations. And nobody was ever held responsible for all the people who died, and they knew it was not safe. Right now, let's go to Russell, who's calling in from Wisconsin. Hi, Russell. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Do you have a question or comment? You want to talk about something else?
Well, I want to talk about something I read in The Rise of the Fourth Reich. I'm sure you read the book.
Let's see now.
Jim Mars.
Oh, sure, yes, I have. I mean, Jim Mars. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a really great book.
We carried the book. I don't know whether we were told it was out of print. I'm not sure whether it is or not, but it is an excellent book, and we may still carry it.
Well, I noticed something here that I thought was rather odd, and I had to reread it a couple of times just to understand it. It talked about the Rockefellers not being so much independent of the financial globalists, but if it wasn't for them, they would be paupers. You know, they could destroy their entire financial empire at will. Sorry about that. They could destroy their entire financial empire at will, and I'd like you to comment on that and how they might do that, because I have a pretty good idea how they could pull it off.
Well, I really can't comment it. I haven't even given any consideration. The Rockefeller family is certainly one of the most powerful families in the world. And, of course, what people do not recognize is that they have powerful ties and strong ties to the occult. The major occult plan for the world is the Earth Charter. It was written by Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, the nephew of David Rockefeller, who is the most powerful and wealthy man in the United States today. And if you, of course, believe Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are the wealthiest people, you've been reading Time magazine too long or listening to Rush Limbaugh too long. But basically, there was an occult force behind the Third Reich. And I think Jim Mars, we know him personally, talked to him about it. I think he recognizes the occult force behind Adolf Hitler and behind the Nazi movement, and that same occult force is behind the Rockefellers today. They certainly, along with the Rothschilds, which are also deeply involved with the occult, specifically the Order of the Golden Dawn, certainly have been working on this whole issue. There is a resurgence of Nazism throughout the world today. There are strong financial ties of the old Nazi movement to many of the corporations, both in Germany and the United States. But you're going to have to ask Jim Mars why he made that statement.
Okay. I do have to say that I think the subtitle of the book could have been a little different, because Jim only touched on the secret society just briefly. He talked about the school society that Adolf Hitler tried to infiltrate and find out more about when he was with German intelligence. But then he became a member, a full-fledged member, and a disciple.
Basically, Jim... is that at your end of the line?
There's something wrong with my line.
Okay, fine. Well, basically, Jim Mars wrote another book, which we do have in stock. It's called Rule by Secrecy. And, of course, he gets into a lot of the secret societies there. That's Rule by Secrecy by Jim Mars, which is still in print and we do carry.
Great. I do want to make one more comment. I'm currently reading The Creature from Jekyll Island, and boy, am I enthralled by it. I mean, it's just the machinations of these globalists, financiers, and the games and the complex rules that they set up just to hide their actions.
And not only that, but the violence that they've done, that they tried to kill Sidney Andrew Jackson, because, of course, he refused to renew the charter of the Second Bank of the United States. Certainly, there's very little question. If you study the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, that the financiers were behind that. We carry a book called, it's by Galen Ross, The Elite Serial Killers, and he actually goes into the back of what really happened as far as Booth was concerned, and Booth did not die, and his granddaughter actually wrote a book about it, described how Booth actually went over to England before he went off to India to die, and we've never been told the truth about what really happened to John Wilkes Booth. And then, of course, we know that John Fitzgerald Kennedy was murdered. There's no question the CIA murdered him. The only question is why, and one of the things is, of course, he wanted to print money independently of the international bankers. He wanted to print money that was backed by silver, and he actually had written an executive order, and within a few months, why he was very dead. These people will kill people who try to get in their way, and right now, of course, I don't know if you've seen that interview. I don't know if you've seen that interview up on the internet where Ben Bernanke, actually it's not Present Planet, actually carries it. Ben Bernanke is being asked by Congressman Duncan, about this audit of the Federal Reserve System, and Bernanke says, why if Congress were to audit us and to interfere with what we're doing, there could be a financial collapse of the whole world monetary system. He basically threatened members of Congress, if they dared, to try to find out what the Federal Reserve Board really is. It's a privately owned central bank. Nobody even knows who owns the stock in this privately owned central bank. It's primarily owned, I think, by a few large American banks. And, of course, the most ridiculous thing is that the Obama administration wants now to correct our financial problem, to give the Federal Reserve, which is owned by the major banks, control over the major banks that control the Fed. I mean, it's so ridiculous, but of course they've got us into this whole mess we're in today, and they did it intentionally and purposely to bring down our financial system. When you can trick the money supply, which they've done specifically, and you stop lending, why the economy contracts, they know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know until it's far too late, and this country and the very structure of our society has been destroyed. Anything else, Russell?
No, that's it. Thank you.
And I'm glad you're enjoying Ed's book. For all the listeners, we do carry The Creature from Jekyll Island. We think it's a very important book. Let's go to John, who's calling from Maine. Hi, John. What part of Maine are you in?
Portland area.
All right, fine. Do you listen to us on shortwave or internet?
Internet.
Okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes. This afternoon on my way home from a meeting, I was listening to Lou Dobbs. And his program and replacement was talking about the health law that's being proposed and how dangerous it was. And on page 16, Investment Daily gave a report that if you remove yourself from your private insurer under the new law, under this law, it's 1,000 pages long, and on page 16 it says you will not be able to get back to a private insurer, but you will have to go to the new government program.
That'll make you feel real all warm and fuzzy to know that the government's there to help.
I know, and I just thought you'd give some comment around the country to our folks who might not realize the danger of this.
I mean, why would they make a piece of legislation with 1,000 pages in it, knowing that no one is going to be able to read it? I have seen the references to that. I've tried to pull down page 16 today, and it's somewhere in the pile of things I have to read, but at least this is what the information is, that you can very well be forced to go into this government program, even if you don't want to. Do you really want, of course, to turn your life over and the life and the safety of your family to the people who said they released a wave of cancer on the American people by putting a cancer virus into the initial polio vaccine, and after that we get this explosion of disease? Do you really want to turn your safety over to the people in government who accidentally lost $2 trillion in the Defense Department? Donald Rumsfeld talked about it, said we have no idea where that $2 trillion went. If they're that inefficient, do you really want to give them responsibility for your health care? I share your concern, John. Was there some other points you wanted to make?
No, that's wonderful, and thank you very much.
God bless, and thank you so very much. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And we're going to go to Sherry, who's calling us from Kansas, and we'll be back here in just a moment. And, of course, we'll be glad to talk about what you want to talk about. America is in real trouble. But America's in real trouble because America's turned against God. We've allowed people in secret societies like the Masons to take over our Supreme Court, and they control the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 from 1970, 1941 to 1971, and they took God prayer out of our schools. Well, Sherry, how are you doing there?
Hi there, Dr. Stan. I want to talk about this flu vaccine.
All right, fine. I'm glad you do.
I'm reading this column that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny wrote in May of 2006, and she's talking about adjuvants, and she's talking about squalene and polysorbate 80 in particular, and about the squalene, MF59, she said that our body's natural squalene is a precursor to cholesterol. And then later on in the article, she says, talks about molecular mimicry and says a convincing proposal for why this occurs includes the concept of molecular mimicry, which an antibody created against squalene can cross-react with the body's squalene on human surface cells, causing can lead to debilitating autoimmune central nervous system diseases. And isn't that what we've seen in the Gulf War veterans?
I think it is. Certainly the government has specifically denied that they ever used any vaccines on our Gulf War veterans that contained squalene. However, of course, there were some scientists, and I believe they're at the University of Nebraska, but don't hold me to that, but they actually checked the Gulf War veterans, and they found that those that were ill had antibodies to squalene, and those that were not ill didn't have antibodies to squalene. So obviously they were lying about what they did. Now, for our listeners out there who do not understand, these adjuvants are additions to vaccines to mobilize the immune system. But what they're doing is mobilizing the wrong part of the immune system. Ordinarily, if you get an infection, you have the disease, you have the virus or bacteria in you, you mobilize the antibody system, and the antibody system actually reacts against the virus, and it primes it, the white cells that then attack the virus, and that's the end of it. You're over that, and you have lifelong immunity. But there is another immune system, and that's the one you stimulate when, of course, you take vaccines. And you get an entirely different sort of response. And it leads to autoimmune disease. And this idea of molecular mimicry, it means, of course, that one molecule mimics another, looks just like another one. And so you immunize the person to squalene. And then, of course, the body begins to attack the squalene. So I really think that Sherry Tenpenny's is absolutely right. You have to understand that so many of these vaccines that were given are very effective, but they are not safe. And this is the reason why one in every nine children today has asthma, why so many children have allergies, but you don't see this in children who do not take the vaccines, and why so many adults have autoimmune disease that is devastating and destroying their lives.
And she goes on to say in this ad that there's a flu vaccine already approved in Europe at this time and called FluAid, or FluAd, F-L-U-A-D, that was targeted at seniors. And this is an article from 2006, so it'd be interesting if you have any contacts in Europe who can, you know.
Well,
have,
maybe somebody will call in, because we got a lot of listeners over in Europe. If, they can always send me an email. We'll be right back here in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have Sherry calling us from Kansas, sharing her concern about the fact that they want us to take these vaccines, and pointing out that what when they make a vaccine, why, of course, they add things to it to mobilize the immune system. They call them adjuvants, and, of course, many times they put in as adjuvants things that are actually harmful. This is why they add aluminum to create alum, but they also sometimes use things like squalene or other oils that have been a disaster. Oh, they certainly make the vaccine work ever so much more efficiently to prevent disease, but they give people autoimmune diseases. They give children asthma. They give people allergies of all sorts, and this is the danger of these vaccines. But you see, we're talking about billions of dollars, and there's a very close relationship between government and the pharmaceutical companies. And would they give things that are harmful to people just to make money? Yes, but they would also give things to people that are harmful because there's an intense hatred of humanity. And if you've never read the book, The Health Century, by Edward Shorter, that's The Health Century by Edward Shorter. It was written under the auspices of the National Institute of Health. It tells you the story of the initial polio vaccine that was given back in 1950, 1951, from about 49 to 52, 53. First the Salk vaccine, then the Sabin vaccine. And they knew that the initial Salk vaccine contained the polio virus. They gave it anyway. Then they knew that the Sabin vaccine carried a cancer virus, a simian virus 40, SV40. And they gave that, even when they knew that the cancer virus was in the polio vaccine, they used up the entire supply, and they contaminated hundreds of millions of people with a cancer virus. And then, of course, we had a cancer epidemic, and this produces cancer of the bone, cancer of the brain, cancer of the certainly of the mesotheliomas, and then it causes lymphomas. And it does this in all animals, and of course it does it in human beings as well. They're trying to deny it because they know that if the American people ever knew the truth, why, we wouldn't ever trust government officials again, because nobody was ever punished for unleashing a cancer epidemic on not only America, but the world. Anything else, Sherry, before we let you go?
I've got a question. What in the Gardasil vaccine could be causing, might be the cause of epileptic seizures?
Well, basically, when you give a vaccine, you get an inflammatory reaction. You're getting an inflammatory reaction not only with the immune system of the body, you're getting an inflammatory response in the brain. It's the inflammation of the brain that causes the convulsions. And far more people have died taking the Gardasil vaccine. I don't know how many children have died, but you can go up on the FDA website, and they have a site there, and there's literally hundreds of young women who've actually taken the Gardasil, who have had abortions subsequently. Some of them have died. They've had convulsions. All sorts of complications. And the
That's
doctors
the
really don't
website?
Know. What?
That's on the FDA website?
Yeah, sure. That it's you can check with me off the air. But there's a website. I'll tell you where to go. You go to the National Vaccine Center, their website. In fact, Barbara Lowe is going to be our...
There.
Barbara Lowe Fisher is going to be our... our guest this evening at 8 o'clock Pacific time. That's Barbara Lowe Fisher. And she has a website or the Vaccine Safety Center. Just go up on the Internet and certainly
okay,
on the Internet. You don't have it?
Well, is your show coming on? Is it coming on the shortwave tonight?
Yeah, it'll be the first hour.
And what what's the...
Barbara Lowe Fisher, we're going to be talking about vaccination, and she will have all that information on her website. So you listen to that, will you?
Well, what frequency is that going to be on?
Oh, my goodness, 5.875 megahertz.
5.875
megahertz.
At 8 o'clock, and that is what is that at California time?
8 o'clock California time. You're going to have to stay up late back there. Hey, thanks so much for calling, Sherry. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, let's go to our guest, William, who's calling from Michigan. Hi, William. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you.
That's great. First of all, I appreciate your show. It's actually not a show. Your information so much, and I thank you for that. And all your great guests that you have.
Well, thank you. It's great to know you're out there listening and that other people are learning something from what we're doing.
Yes. Now, here's a question for you. It's a basic question. I'm sure you've covered it 100 times. I've heard you speak about it. But if I were to start a new country, let's say, if I were to leave America today, one thing I would do, I would say, you know what, guys, we're going to fight, and our country is going to be a Christian nation no matter what. That's going to be the guidelines of our nation.
All right, you hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. We've got William calling from Michigan. Go right ahead with your thoughts, William.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I'm just saying, with what I've read, I'm no brain surgeon by any means, but if I were to start a new country, if we had the ability like our forefathers of yesteryear, and all the tyranny that they went through, if you were a Christian, I would say to my guys, we're going to have a country where the state doesn't rule the religion, but where we serve God, and God is our leader. And so if we're going to go to a new land, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're not going to have a state-established religion, but the Lord is going to be our God in this nation. And we're going to set our laws and our bylaws according to the God. Now, that's just me now. And I think our forefathers were unbelievably intelligent and wise. In so many ways. Our Congress could certainly learn a lesson from those guys. However, my question to you, given that, if me, just being an average little guy, would say, if I'm going to start a new land, this is how we're going to do it. The Lord is going to be our leader. Did our forefathers set our nation in accordance with God's laws, or did they say that religion of any kind would be allowed in our nation? In other words, are we or are we not a nation that was founded upon Christianity?
All right, fine. That's a very, very good question, William. Are we a Christian nation? Well, the Supreme Court has passed on this on 4 different occasions and said we were a Christian nation. But we were not a nation where one religious sect, like the Presbyterians or the Anglicans or the Congregationalists, would determine what was going on, but that our history was based upon Christianity, our laws were based upon Christianity, and certainly our Constitution was based upon Christian concepts that you would limit the power of government so people could be free. John Adams said, in essence, exactly what you are saying. He said that our form of government was made for a moral and religious people. It would not work for any other. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I believe that we need to have a moral, religious people. If you have moral and religious people, you can limit the power of government. If you have a immoral people, as we have today, increasingly violent and chaotic, then you have to have an all-powerful government. And hang on there for just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and we have, of course, William calling from Michigan. And he asked if we are a Christian nation. Certainly, Barack Obama has gone internationally and went to Turkey and said, we are not a Christian nation. We're not a Muslim nation. Well, of course, he, of course, is speaking for himself. I do not believe that Sunday, Mr. Obama believes in Christianity. He sat under the tutelage of a minister named Reverend Wright for 20 years. And Reverend Wright would get up and harangue and would say, God D America. God D America. We've got a video that shows him doing this time and time again. And instead of saying, we have a great country, but we got some real problems and some wicked people, Reverend Wright hates America. He is a racist. And Barack Obama sat under his tutelage for 20 years, only left the church, of course, when it became public knowledge, of course, of this intense hatred of America and everything we stand for. And then, of course, Barack Obama, with the help, of course, the Trilateral Commission, which is founded in the occult. They collapsed the economy just about a month before the election and swept him into power. But, of course, as far as being a Christian nation, answered William's question by saying that the Supreme Court of the United States, on four different occasions, has specifically specified that we are a Christian nation. I think it was 1893. In the case of the Church of the Holy Trinity versus United States, and you can actually find that on my website at radioliberty.com. It's a newsletter, and it's the title is, I think, Are We a Christian Nation? And we simply take excerpts from that Supreme Court decision that held we were a Christian nation because our heritage was in Christianity, our traditions were in Christianity, our laws were based upon Christianity, and certainly the concepts laid out by Montesquieu and John Locke and William Blackstone were all founded on Christianity. So we were a Christian nation. That doesn't mean everybody has to be a Christian. Anybody of any religion could come here to this country, William. But as long as we held to the Christian beliefs that we could, but men are sinful and we must limit the power of government so that mankind can be free, as long as we adhere to the fact that there is a moral order and the government should support that moral order at the state level, why, we were a great nation. We are no longer a great nation. We are no longer a Christian nation. Not because Barack Obama said, they said we're not a Christian nation, but because our churches have abandoned their responsibility to maintain the morality and integrity of our nation. Anything else you'd like to ask?
You know, you have many other callers. So, bottom line is this, though. Did our founders then find this country to be a Christian country, allowing, like, Mohammedism?
Absolutely.
Islam to come here? Did they, in your opinion, or whatever, did they say that we're going to follow the Christian rules, but we will allow other religions to come here?
In absolute, that's exactly what Thomas Jefferson said. He actually wrote a little short autobiography, and I can sit here and look at my library and see that autobiography. And he said he wanted a country where the Hindus could come and the Muslims could come. But, of course, he realized that if we did not adhere to the values, the Christian values of this nation, why, this nation would fall, and it is falling today. Jefferson, we could spend an hours talking about Jefferson. Jefferson was actually involved with the mystery religions and all sorts of things at that time. But as he grew older, when you read the book, The Master Thoughts of Thomas Jefferson, he comments that, you know, he had looked into all of these alternative beliefs for so many years, but he found no solace in them, and he finally decided to lay his pillow on the his head on the soft pillow that Christ had provided for us. So those are his words, not mine. Anyway, God bless you, William, and thank you so much. We are a Christian nation. Let's reclaim our nation, our heritage. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go to Michelle, or I guess it's Michael, calling from Fort Worth. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you got something you'd like to talk about. Hi, Michael. How are you doing it?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm just enjoying your conversations. I like your open lines, kind of freewheeling. And
I love them, too.
Yeah, that keeps you on your toes, I'm sure. I've got several, you know, questions or thoughts to talk about, but what I'd really like to get your background on is, I called 2-3 weeks ago, was concerned, my church, which is an Orthodox church that is just about as traditional and as fundamental as you can imagine, has, I think, in reaction to the pressure from the feminists, who everybody has in their churches, and especially the outspoken and demanding ones, have sort of adopted a program of using what they call Christian psychologists to counsel families. And 20, 30 years ago, I went through this in the Catholic Church. They were starting to have pressure from the feminists, and I don't know how they get from A to B, but they suddenly started getting graduate degrees in psychology and psychiatry and counseling for all their priests. And from what I can recall, they sort of turned the selection of their priests over to, you know, a group of psychiatrists, yes. And now the concern, and what sort of has sharpened my interest in it, is I ran across this BBC special. It's a four-hour special, a documentary. On its title is The Century of the Self, and it's a, are you familiar with it?
No, I'm really not.
It's essentially a very good historical documentary of the history of psychiatry. And it starts with Freud and his daughter Anna and the people that came along and had different ideas from them, and sort of historically develops it step by step up to the Clinton campaign and the all of the manipulation. And the guy Bernays, you know, you've mentioned that Bernays several times, who started the public relations and advertising.
Edward Bernays, right.
His book and on propaganda. He's a nephew of
Sigmund Freud, right.
Freud,
right.
Yes. And but it's just, you know, and this documentary has won an award as the historical documentary of the year, and it's all sort of right out of the mouths of the actors. You know, they have interviews with people who studied with Freud and succeeded Freud and tested Freud and
most of these people need a psychiatrist. I will tell you that, you know, certainly the members of my medical school class went into psychiatry. I mean, a couple of them committed suicide. I'll never forget when I was a senior medical student, we had this chief resident in psychiatry. I mean, he was certainly one of the, you know, a handsome, the athletic man. You know, he was a senior resident. We worked very closely with him. He went out and just blew his brains out. Psychiatrists have real emotional problems that they don't have solutions to the problems that we face. And bringing psychology into the church is a terrible disaster. We're trying to become more like the world rather than trying to make the world more like the church.
Yeah, and
they do not. Sigmund Freud was used cocaine and other psychotropic drugs. He actually had all sorts of emotional problems himself and a lot of sexual problems himself, and he's supposed to solve our problems. I think that there's very little that psychiatry has to offer. I think we could probably learn a lot more from Russell Blaylock's DVD, Nutrition and Behavior. That's Nutrition and Behavior, at least because many people with psychological problems have nutritional problems. Most of these psychological drugs that they're giving, finally they decided, well, maybe psychotherapy doesn't work so well, let's give them drugs that will alter the serotonin levels. So they developed some drugs called the selective serotonin reabsorption inhibitors, SSRI drugs, Prozac, Luvox, which of course actually, if you look, the statistics do very little good, but they do an awful lot of harm, because many of these people become suicidal or homicidal, and most of these mass murders that we've seen have been carried out by, whether it be in schools or elsewhere, carried out by people who are on this type of drug. So then this is what the psychiatrist prescribes now, because he realized, well, of course, that yeah. all the counseling isn't doing a lot of good. There may be a place for, in a church, the minister sitting down and talking to someone. First of all, the minister should never counsel a woman. He should only counsel men. He should never be alone with a woman. You should have a woman counseling a woman, a man counseling a man.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you have to realize, of course, that the solution to our problems will find it in the Bible, not in the writings of Freud. Okay, anything else?
That's the thing that's so strange, is we have all the answers that have solved all the problems, relational problems with among the Christian people for 2,000 years and really longer than that, and then to take up. But this documentary, Dr. Stan, I would, it's 4 hours is a long time to look at psychiatry, but they have little clips of different stages, and of course a lot of it took place in California, that Esalen Institute, and the crazy things that they did, and then they have this convent of Catholic nuns, I think the Sacred Heart of Mary or something.
Oh, I remember one of my doctor friends went down there. They had these hot tubs, and everybody in this whole group would get in there stark naked, and then they told his wife to throw a glass of wine at him, just all sorts of things. Take out your hostilities.
Yeah.
Forget about everything that has any value, you know. And so all these people running around naked, I mean, these are professional people paying thousands of dollars for this therapy. And, of course, they come away a lot more confused. We've got to run. Thanks very much. And let's go to Marcella. Let's go to Marcella calling from Salinas. Hi, Marcella.
Hi, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing real well. How about you?
Oh, just fine. I hope to be able to listen to you tonight on 89.9. But if I'm not able to get your station, could you please ask Barbara Fisher-Lowe a few things as far as, I keep hearing October 15th as being some sort of date. I'm not sure if it's going to be mass forced mandatory vaccination on the swine flu in 1H1. I heard they're spending $1 trillion. How can we afford that with healthcare?
Well, first of all, I think they're putting a lot of disinformation out. We do not know whether it's going to be voluntary or mandatory. The sum of money, initially they put out $1 billion to develop the vaccine. Of course, this went to a lot of the three major vaccine producers. One of them is Baxter, one of them is GlaxoSmithKline in France, and the other is, I think, Aventis, something like that. Three or four of them got this initial $1 billion, and two of them have already had their vaccine certified. They're going to use it experimentally on the military for a month or two, and sometime in the fall they're going to go ahead, and they have another $7 to $8 billion for a massive program here in the United States. Now, we know a similar program is going to be carried out in Great Britain, and I suspect we're going to try to vaccinate the whole world, and it's a lot of foolishness. I mean, actually, probably to date, not more than 3,000 or 4,000 people in the entire world have died of this terrible pandemic. We lose almost that many people every single day
from
malaria, which is certainly preventable. We lose that many people, twice that many people, from AIDS throughout the world, which is preventable, and which they've done everything they could to block the implementation of effective public health measures. So this whole thing is a scam, and whether it's for profit, whether they're going to spread disease, a new and terrible disease, or incapacitate so many people because of the autoimmune diseases that the vaccines create, I don't know. But don't let them scare you to death. We'll keep you abreast of what's going on.
Can I say one thing about Gardasil? I do get their newsletter
right.
from the National Vaccine Information. To date, there have been 48 deaths, over 3,000 injuries, and 15,000 adverse reactions have been filed. And you know that's only like 1 to 10% of anything that's even filed, because doctors always say it's a coincidence, as usual.
Marcella, will you repeat what you just said? You got this from the Vaccine Information Center?
Yeah, I get their newsletter. I get emails from them all the time.
Repeat what you just said. How many people have died? How many have been injured?
Okay, 48 have died.
48 have died.
And those are probably young women between, who knows, 15
right.
or even 9 and early 20s. Over 3,000 injuries, probably paralysis, seizures, and
Guillain-Barré, sure.
And as far as adverse reactions that have been reported, which you know is between 1 and 10% of actual injuries that even get reported, it's been 15,000. Double check with her, but I just got this newsletter from them 2-3 days ago, and I was just totally shocked. And what's so horrible is I run into young women all the time with petitions for, you know, Greenpeace and global warming, and I ask them, have you had the Gardasil? And so many of them have. I said, how could you be soliciting for all these causes that are noble and at the same time allowing all these toxins into your bodies? And they just look at me like I'm crazy.
That's all right. You just keep raising that question. A friend of mine's daughter went to a doctor recently, and the female doctor said, well, now would you like a Gardasil shot? And the daughter said, no. And she said, well, aren't you worried about cervical cancer? And young woman, the daughter of my friend, said, no, I'm not worried about cervical cancer. Well, why aren't you worried about it? And the young woman said, because you're not going to get it if you keep your pants on. You're not going to get these viruses that produce cervical cancer if you are chaste before marriage and faithful afterwards. And the doctor didn't know how to respond.
And you still have to have a pap smear every year anyway.
Sure.
And it doesn't even cover all the strains. And no vaccine has ever been tested to see if it's carcinogenic in the first place.
And we don't know, of course, an awful lot of these young women, of course, have had abortions afterwards. And we don't know what the long-term effects will be. But, boy, it is really very effective. It's really raised, of course, the bottom line, the financial status of the companies that have it on the market.
$2 billion so far is what I've heard, $2 billion. And the boys are next. The boys are next.
Well, not if we have anything to say about it. If people listen to our program, they realize these vaccines are not safe. They may be effective, but they're not safe. And, of course, how many cases of cervical cancer have we really prevented by giving this to millions of our young women whose lives may never be the same again?
One that they're killing off the young women. It's so sad. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks. Okay, well, let's go to Melvin, who's calling from Scotts Valley. Hi, Melvin. How are you doing? Hold that thought. Go right ahead.
In Ephesians 11, it says, do not participate in the fruitful work.
You're going to have to speak just a little louder. Hang on. We'll be with you in just a moment here.
All right.
Well, this has been Open Lines, and we're going to be talking to Melvin, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program right here at Radio Liberty. All right, Melvin, go right ahead.
Hello. In Ephesians 5, it says, do not participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but rather expose them. So I believe that's what you're doing.
Well, that's what we try to do.
Amen. And it says in Hebrews, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And it says in Luke 21:36 that we should pray continually that we will escape and be accounted worthy to escape the things that are coming on the earth. You know? And as far as, you know, it's too bad Jesus didn't have Freud as one of his disciples, and then we'd be all right.
Well, I think...
In the 50s, late 50s, I used to go down to Hot Springs, which is Esalen now. And, I thank God for my grandmother's prayers. because even though she didn't speak English, I don't think I would have been saved today, because I've been through a lot of stuff. I've been with the mafia in Monterey and bankers in Monterey, and I'm a native of Monterey, you know. And I've been molested by homosexuals, and I turned 16 in reform school. But, you know, I've been into acid and all that jazz. I've been to psychiatrists and all that jazz. But it's Jesus who's healed my mind as far as it is today. And it's Jesus who's healed me 5 times, you know, of illnesses. And I thank God, because it's, you know, if it ain't his with him, you know, if you can't stop the homosexuals from adopting children, you know, we're a lost cause. And until Jesus gets back.
Well, our job, of course, Melvin, is to try to get people to understand what's going on. I got an email from somebody recently, a couple of days ago, said, I hate listening to your program because it leaves me with a feeling of despair. And I said, look, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to give people a feeling of despair, because only when people feel that there's a sense of hopelessness out there can they look for the Lord. And this is what we're trying to do, is lead people to the Lord. And I concluded, how many people have you brought to the Lord recently? This is why I do what I do. And it's so good to know that you love the Lord, and we're all going to have to be very dependent upon Him, completely dependent, you know, in the months and years that lie ahead. We're moving into very difficult times. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah. Well, years ago, before I got saved, I came in my dad's house, and he said, this is like 40 years ago, that we're printing money out of thin air.
Yeah, we are sure. Hey, we're out of time. God bless, Melvin. Thanks very much for calling. Please keep listening. Get the other people to listen as well.
Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, it's an open lines program, and we always enjoy open lines. We hope you do as well. So next time we do open lines, don't be bashful. You're always welcome to call in. And what a great group of questions and guests we had this afternoon. People all across this country listening to our program and learning. And, of course, we have listeners all throughout the world. Certainly, I got the emails this last week from a woman in Holland and another fellow in Australia and somebody else in New Zealand. Through the miracle of shortwave and internet, we can reach the whole world. And if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, you can give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And we realize that many of you may not be able to participate at all. You can go up on our website. You can read our newsletters for nothing. You can listen to our radio programs for nothing. You can watch our DVDs or a link to YouTube for nothing and the essays we published. But if you can't help us directly, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and encourage others to listen as we try to educate them about the true spiritual battle that's taking place, about the secret societies and covert organizations that control our nation. Now, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, shame on you. If you can't afford it, go up on the internet, radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Scroll down to videos. Scroll down the videos to Brotherhood of Darkness and watch, of course, the talk. You can certainly read our newsletters on the occult hierarchy. There is an occult hierarchy that rules the world today. If you want to know about the Trilateral Commission, what their goal is, and their control of the Obama administration, as they controlled all the administrations before, certainly if you read my last several newsletters, they cover this very well. We do have an excellent DVD put out by our friend Pat Wood. It's on the Trilateral Commission. It's the talk he gave last October, but the DVD is available. And he goes into the Trilateral Commission, how between 1976 and the year 2008, every president and or vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission. There's never been more than 85 of them, 87, I think, at the present time. How could that have happened? And Rush Limbaugh hasn't told the American people, or Sean Hannity hasn't told the American people, or certainly the people, Al Franken hasn't told the American people. And the reason they haven't told the American people is because they want to keep their jobs. And that's the reason Glenn Beck is not going to tell you. And so many of the other people who pretend to be conservatives are playing a game. But the truth of the matter, there is a power structure. I call it the Brotherhood of Darkness. You can get our membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. It's a syllabus. It gives you the background of each of the organizations. And they're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you'll want to get my talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret that's been around for 5,000 years or more. And it can lead you to great fame and fortune, but you don't want to access this power, because this power can lead you on a one-way trip to eternal damnation. But we'll tell you how this works and how the people who accessed it have gotten ahead, and, of course, who many of these people are, many of the great philosophers, many of the great leaders and the kings and financiers of all time have tapped into this mystical power that is there, which you want to know about and which you want to avoid. And then, of course, my talk on the financial Armageddon. All of these are important, and then, of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, listen to our programs, and you can listen 9 hours a day to our live Internet feed, 4 hours a day live, MP3, blog. Certainly, we archive the programs. Get other people listening, because we need to reach as many people as we can in the time that God has allotted to us. And then, please pray for America. Pray for revival, pray for our leaders, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Again, the number 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. From the